Very familiar text, old message, been preached time after time after time, but I had studied down through the week, and then this afternoon the Lord just kind of turned everything around, and I guess that was a result of me trying to watch television, Christian programming on a lot of our television stations. Only one you can watch is Evangelistic Outreach. Amen. Can't watch the rest of them. You know what I'm talking about. But I got you thinking today, how far are we coming from old-fashioned, heartfelt God worship? Where are we at today? I hear cop-outs all the time. That's what I was thinking about when I was sitting there. Folks tell us in a lot of these little churches now, they ain't no sin in being a little church, but they are in staying one. A lot of folks humped up 10 or 12, and you know, they're just rejoicing, and we got the best spirit here. There ain't no spirit in them big churches. Mind you come down to Rubyville. We are losing that old-fashioned worship of God. I mean, where people are not afraid to shout. I talked to a pastor the other day, and he attends a church of 300 or 400. He said, you know something I miss? Our church got so big that you can't have a testimony anymore. Something wrong there. Jeremiah here is writing to Israel. In verse 16, chapter 6, he says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old path, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I wonder tonight how pleased that God is with a lot of this so-called dried up worship today. He says to ask for the old path. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet of God, he's looking back on Israel and he's seeing a time when Israel served the only true and living God. And they walked and followed the statutes of Almighty God. But now he's in a time when people have turned their backs on God. And God says, Jeremiah, go prophesy against these people. He didn't say, Jeremiah, let's go compromise with that worship.
That's right.
Jeremiah, let's allow everything in the world to come in and take the place of God. What are the old paths? I've done a lot of thinking about that today. I've preached this message several times. But I think it may be a little different for me today. And I've had folks in revival, Calvin, I'm sure you have too, and they'll say, I heard you preach that message on such and such a date. And I say, well, if you follow me around, I'll preach it another 30 or 40 times. After about 25, you get it down pat. What is old-time religion and old-time worship of God? First of all, old-time religion believes that there is God. Not gods. Not gods. One God. One faith. One baptism. I have never seen a time like we live in today when folks are asked, mainline preachers of our day, popular preachers in the world today, if they're asked, do you believe that Buddhists are saved? Do you believe that Islam are saved? On and on and on. And they'll give some big, long, drawn-out political answer. Let me tell you one thing. If they don't know the God of heaven, they are not saved. Old time religion believes in God. Listen to me, folks. You can say, well, I believe the Word of God. Go back to Genesis 1:1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God. Now, if you don't believe that, you don't believe none of the rest of it. God. The God that created heaven and earth and all that therein is the God that we worship and serve tonight. That's old time religion. Old time religion believes in a personal God. That when there ain't nobody around to comfort you, Calvin, bless God, He's there. Woo! When nobody is there to hold your hand or to speak peace to your heart, I serve the God that created heaven and earth, and He was always there for me. Thank God. I believe that. Arlene, I believe in that kind of God. Now, do you know what? I believe this, and I told my family, I believe in good doctors, but when they don't know what to do, I still believe God. Yeah. Healing may come in a lot of ways, and I may be sick, but I don't feel sick right now. Cheryl told me the other night, she said, the only time you look like you're not in pain is when you're preaching. I said, you want me to preach all the time? That's the power of God in our lives. Our doctor told us that day, he said, I sit here so humbled before you, knowing that there's nothing but God that's keeping you alive. And I know what he meant, but what he said was not exactly right, because I know God is the only one that can keep me alive, but it's not medicine or doctor. That's the kind of God that we serve. I watch a lot of these self-proclaimed gurus. How many of you watch Oprah? Come on now. Come on. How'd she get so smart? I watch her too. How'd she get so smart, Angie? I wonder. She knows everything. Let me tell you why she knows everything. She's got a couple billion dollars put back, so they're going to believe what she said. Teaching these kids the other day to put a little ugly-looking monkey thing in your pocket and give him a name and call him God. Well, I want you to know one thing. I don't serve a God I can carry around in my pocket. My God's bigger than that. I believe God. That's old-time religion. Secondly, let me hurry. I'll preach all night. Old-time religion stands upon the Word of God. We've cut it up, and we've revised it, and we've watered it down. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Yes. Yes.
Folks, let me say this to you tonight. I believe that we live in an area of the United States where we're known as the Bible Belt, and I believe that there are some outstanding preachers in this area. But I was thinking, as men like Calvin's dad, Brother Calvin Evans. A lot of men pass on that absolutely never did compromise in his ministry in any way. You could hear Calvin preach, and I remember hearing him preach when I was just a little kid. I listened to him preach the last sermon he ever preached. Still preaching the Word of God. Same thing, Ted. Same thing. The Word of God. What saves souls, what changes lives, what makes drunkards and dope addicts sober, unfaithful men and women faithful and good to their faith, what changes them? The power of God and the Word of God. Brother, you can take them and you can run them through every kind of rehabilitation they are, and they're just going to come out and do it again. You get them saved by the power of the Word of God in their lives, and brother, they'll change. I believe that's what we need today. That's old-time religion. I've worked with an old boy for years. I was in a revival, and this guy had been cut. He'd been shot. One of these 8 or 10 wives shot him, five times right below his heart, and he was a great big old chesty guy, and he drove himself to the hospital and lived. He was back to work in 2 days. Shot him with a .22 pistol. She should have used .22 holler points or something because them shorts didn't get in there deep enough. Got a big scar across the top of his head, one down the side of his face. I was preaching revival and the pastor told me before he come in, he said, there's a guy going to come here and give his testimony tonight that says he knows you well. And I said, who is he? He said, you'll know when he gets here. Well, when he walked in, I sure did know him. I mean, when he come to work on Monday morning, you didn't bother that guy because he was usually hung over and he'd kill you. Got saved. Walked in and grabbed me around the neck and hugged me. He said, Kenny, the most wonderful thing happened. He said, Jesus, save my soul. I'd heard him say that there wasn't nobody could do anything with him when he got angry. He told me the night he got saved. That preacher started preaching the Word and said, man, he got under my skin. He said, I thought once about just going for choking him. Yeah. And then he said, my heart kind of softened a little, and I thought, well, you know, that guy's just doing that because that's his job. And then he said he went to anger again. And then he said he come back to the reality as that man preached the Word of God. That he was a lost sinner on his way to hell. And there was nothing he could do about it except Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That's been 3 or 4 years ago, and I seen him the other day. Brother, he's still praising God. The Word of God will change your life. Old-time religion, yeah, I still believe it. Old-time religion believes that man is lost. Isaiah said in chapter 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've said this a lot of times. It's not hard to get people saved. It's hard to get anybody lost today. Ain't nobody lost. Nobody's lost. Everybody you see has got some kind of a form of religion. Ain't nobody lost. Look at your newspaper, read your obituary, and everybody that dies is affiliated with a church of some kind. Read them. We ain't got nobody lost. I was listening to a bunch of singers the other day, and they was talking about, and I won't mention his name, no use to, but one of the most ungodly men ever was died in a drunken stupor, mixing alcohol and dope, and died that way. And he said he's going to do this for his old buddy. He's up in heaven looking down. God help, where are we at in society today? Where are we at? We believe anything. Man is lost without Jesus Christ. Old time religion believes that mankind outside of coming to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting His finished work on the cross of Calvary is lost. That's old time religion. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. Old time religion believes in a new birth. Where would I be had I not been saved? How many of you can remember old time conviction? We don't talk much about that anymore, do we? Folks, I remember, well, I was under conviction for 7 months. Preacher's kid, had to go to church, and then when I got older, I said I won't go unless I have to. Ain't nobody making me go anymore. The only reason I went, I was afraid of my dad. Now, listen, folks, there's a good fear. There's a good fear. That was one of them. You know, if you wanted to live, you better be afraid of it. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to die out to sin.
Yes.
The new birth. Being born again by the Word of God. I can look back on that time and it was the most miserable time in my life when I realized that I was lost. I got afraid too. I always got up at 2:45 and I was on the job before and I got afraid, and I never was afraid after dark. I coon hunted ever since I was a little kid. Run all over them hills, cabin. I wasn't afraid of the dark, but boy, when the Lord started convicting me, I saw boogers behind every corner. Yeah, I did. I did. Afraid to get up and go to work. Afraid to go have a wreck. Started one morning and it was fog. It was in the fall of the year, September the 19th when I got saved. It was real foggy and I thought, I'm turning around going home because I get killed in this fog. Just conviction. Just the realization that if I died in the condition that I was in, I was going to hell. I've had folks tell me I wouldn't give a nickel for scared religion. Well, I got real scared and I got saved and it's lasted me 30 years and I ain't thinking about quitting. Ain't no shape to quit now. I mark my life from my new birth. Everything changed that night in my life when Jesus saved my soul. Folks, if you don't have a milestone, a place you can go back and say, that's where I got saved, you need one tonight. You absolutely need one. Why do I need one, preacher? Well, let me tell you, it's lasted me 30 years, but let me tell you this, the devil's drugged me back to that altar a lot of times. Yeah, we've been back there. But you know what's good about that? He ain't never drugged me across it. Because right there is where we stopped. Howard, that's where we drove the stake. Bless God, that's where we set the pillar and said, this is it. Bless God. You may have rough times, but this is the point in your life where your life changed and you were born again.
Amen.
By the power of God. I still believe that, don't you? I still believe that. Yeah. Told a fellow the other day somebody got saved. Said, what'd he get saved from? I said, well, hell. you don't know you are in trouble. Old time religion believes in a new birth. Last of all, coming to a close. Old time religion believes in heaven and hell. The society that you and I live in will readily accept the doctrine of heaven. Do you know that? Yeah, boy. A place of eternal bliss where everything is perfect and nobody is ever sick again and your loved ones are there and you can go to be with them. And, you know, it's just great, John. Everything is perfect over there. And, man, I can get to listen to that and we can shout and we can run and we can have a big time and it just stirs our heart. And most people like to hear that. You'd be crazy if you didn't. But folks, just as surely as there's a heaven, there's a hell. Just as sure as our loved ones and our friends that have died in the saving grace of Jesus Christ and are in heaven today, those that die outside of His grace are in hell tonight, just the same as they're in heaven. When you got up this morning, they were there. As you went on your day, they were there. As you lay down and go to sleep tonight, they're in hell. Hell's a reality. Real people are going there. Let me ask you this, and I'm going to come to a close. Do we really have the burden for lost people that we should have? Do you know anybody that you would want to see go to hell? I mean, I don't care what they've done to you. Can we as Christians carry the burden that we realize that real people go there? Folks, I believe if the reality of all that, if we could comprehend it tonight, I think our lives would change. You wonder what makes men go and preach when they don't feel like it. Wonder what makes men dedicate their lives to the Lord. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. If we were to get a vision of lost people in hell tonight, I'll guarantee you that our lives would change. Old-time religion believes that real people, just like me and you, that has not accepted Jesus Christ, go to hell. Let's all stand tonight as musicians come. Lord speaks to hearts tonight. I know tonight that in a congregation this size, there's lost people. I know tonight that there's saved people that are not serving. I know there's many needs. We're going to take a stand in the midst of the world and the generation that you and I live in. You know what we have to do? I listened to statistics the other day, and it absolutely just bore on my mind. The United States of America, the average church is 75 members. Now, there's big churches, there's little churches, but the average is 75. For the last 10 years, in the United States, at the rate of 50 churches every year, we're closing the doors. Is that a staggering statistic? I mean, just closing them up. Why? Because old time religion is not popular today. Will we turn our back on the world and let them go, or will we stand up?